Welcome to Mindful Social, the show that intersects mindfulness and emotional intelligence with the hectic online world we live in today. This week on the show, I'd like to introduce you to Dr. Antoine Ede, founder of Meet Yourself, a unique approach to understanding ourselves through the triad of genetic DNA, neuroscience, and psychology. I've had the pleasure of engaging in the Meet Yourself program, and I have to say, the insights I learned from these tests has opened my eyes to better understanding of my own potential and attributes. Have a listen. Welcome, Antoine. It's been absolutely fascinating going through the studies that you sent me about me for Meet Yourself. And I would really love to give people an idea of what inspired you to put this together. How did all of this happen?
Thank you, Janet, for the opportunity to talk to you, first of all. Share this with you. It was a very nice and interesting conversation, and I thank you for your openness and your mind that's open to growing and learning and teaching at the same time.
That's so fun.
Thank you. Yes, nothing is more fun. And thank you for doing this. This is helping a lot of people, what you do and your work and this podcast. So I want to thank you for giving me the chance to be here. And to answer your question, it's been a long journey of self-discovery, really, that led to what I do now. And I'm hoping that that this is it, that this is just going to grow within this, because I'm really enjoying this. That there's not going to be some learning later that will shift me completely from this, as life has shifted me from one area to the other until I reached here. So I initially studied business, and I worked as a consultant for most of my career. And this is when I realized that I have some kind of a talent or a ability to feel other people, to understand how they're feeling more than what they're thinking, really. And I thought that this was creeping me out most of my life. Like, why am I like this? This must be something wrong with me. Why can't I just be in a place and just enjoy a conversation like everyone else? And people came to me and said, we feel kind of intimidated by you. You're the nicest person ever, but there's this energy about you. And when I ask why, they tell me, because we feel that you know a lot about us, even if I haven't said a single word. And that got me curious to understand, why is that? And I started reading about the brain. I got really fascinated by how the brain works. Mm. And little by little, I ended up studying all over again. Topics related to neuroscience, behavioral genetics, and how the relation between these and thinking and behavior and personality. And I ended up developing a consulting business on top of that knowledge, linking science to personality assessment, personal development, and eventually leadership development. So I focused on personality at the workplace and helping leaders better understand the people themselves and the people they work with.
Yeah, so that's an interesting thing, because I think I told you this when I first did the test and when we talked about it, that I've done a lot of personality tests, and you probably know more about me than I do at this point because you read all my tests, but I've always felt like people take these tests, they give them to their manager maybe requires them, everybody looks at them, and then we don't do anything about it. And part of that is because we've slotted ourselves in a box. And I think what was really interesting for me was the connection with the DNA part of this, Because when I looked at the tests that I did, and I found the contrasts kind of amazing, that I really read them and went, oh yeah, wow, something that I recognized that I'd kind of been suppressing, and it was really a strength that I'd been ignoring. And that really brought a lot to the surface, and I'm still thinking about it. So, can you tell me how all of the different tests, the behavioral, the DNA, all of that comes together and why? And the long answer is just fine. It's a long question.
Thank you. Yes, of course. It's really important to understand the approach, because it took me a few years to understand how each one of these different aspects of what makes us who we are work together. And every single coach, therapist, leadership development consultant, or anybody working within our field understands the importance of this, because we use personality assessment, and we know that the assessments we use address a certain part of personality. To start with, before I start explaining the methodology of this, I would like to emphasize the fact that human beings are more complex than being analyzed by any personality assessment. I might have gotten as close as possible, but there's a lot more that plays a role in our personality. There's our energy, there's our soul, there's our being, there's our values, our beliefs. There's a lot of other aspects of who we are that play an important role. But basically, what makes us who we are is a combination of factors. And I've tried to highlight the most important three. And that is, one, the talents and the potentials we inherit through our genetics. Our genetics define certain talents or certain levels of performance before learning even happens. And we see this with young children. They start having these tendencies to do things that they enjoy. Our bodies physically can be more fit for certain sports than other sports. It applies to arts, it applies to music, it applies to athleticism, all disciplines really. So our genetics influence a certain level of performance and personality. Factor two is the way our brains become wired after years of life and experience. After a certain age, we develop a after years of upbringing and experience and learning, we develop what neuroscience calls brain preferences. And these are mainly areas such as the analytical thinking or the rational thinking, the imagination, our social thinking, and our execution, our we call it the accomplisher thinking. We all spend our days juggling between these different ways of thinking, but we feel more comfortable in certain ways. So that's factor two of our personality. And factor three, and very important, is what we learn and how we grow and develop. And that's an ongoing process until we die. It's our beliefs, our values, our habits, our acquired skills and behavior, our competencies. So what I've done is really brought the indicators from these three. The third factor is our acquired skills and behaviors. It's how we grow to become through our education, our experience, what we learn from other people, and so on. And that's an ongoing process until we die. We keep growing and we keep learning. So what I've done is really bring these three indicators and map them together to come up with a story that tells a person what they've inherited through the genetics in terms of personality predispositions, to how did their thinking preferences develop through their upbringing and learning, and what skills and competencies have they acquired? And that gives a beautiful analysis, a thought-provoking analysis on sometimes the talents and the potentials that could be dormant, not explored, and or how life has taken us in a different way than our nature, or really understanding the strength that come when our nature matches our learning and our behaviors.
Yeah, it was really interesting to look at all of the different aspects of this, and then you pull it all together into kind of a big picture that analyzes how really the brain preferences, the behaviors, the DNA, it all comes together and tells us a story about ourselves, which is, meet yourself. But it was also interesting that you can look back, as you were saying about how as a child we have certain things that we do. And then I believe, and please tell me if I'm wrong, because I'm wrong a lot, that as we develop, we get slotted into different routes. And as we get a little older, I think this explains midlife crises in a lot of ways because we come to a point where we realize this isn't all me, that there have been influences that have guided our lives in this direction, but maybe it's not really what I want now. And maybe some of that things that we did in childhood or that we learned from come forward for us. And I thought that was really interesting. And maybe I'm talking about my own story, but I'd love to hear what you have seen from people that have taken the test that weren't me.
Well, that shows a very high level of self-awareness with you, because this story is common with anyone who gets to reflect on their life, and that happens as we go through more and more experiences. This is how we eventually find out our purpose and start questioning whether what we are and what we are doing actually goes with that purpose. But initially it goes back to the way we are raised, the education system, the way our parents raise us, the peer pressure starting from the family to school. We're mostly raised to have that need to be good enough for a higher being, for a spiritual thing that has great values, for our parents, for the teacher at university. The grading system at schools classifies people by level of performance, and we always feel that we need to do more, to do better, to develop, to grow. That stay with it. It stays with us for most of our lives.
And then we get into, I mean, when we're in the workforce and we come to the workforce, having left that educational system and perhaps had some jobs or whatever, and then we go into a new job and we take all of that with us, but we leave behind kind of at the core of who we are, perhaps.
We haven't been trained and taught to look at our strength, at our natural predispositions, our potentials. We look more into what we're weak at and want to fix that. And sometimes spend the rest of our lives trying to fix that.
That's
This
where
is ex
strengths tests fall down, right?
definitely, definitely, because if you look at the common things between all the people who are happy, a lot of it has to do with them doing something that they enjoy. And if you dig deeper, it's something where they have a talent or a potential that has been explored. People working with a purpose are happier. It reflects on their mental health, on their physical health. And this is how we are made, just like any other. Look at any other species. They wake up in the morning and they go do their thing. and they do not argue nature. Humans argue nature because we have that human brain that wants to challenge the givens, and that moves the world forward. It's an amazing ability with humans, but our need to grow, our need to develop, our need to change sometimes makes us skip the most important, which is, do we really know what makes us who we are? Do we know our strength? Are we working within the things that actually make us happier? And that's the difference at the workplace. We see that. We see that performance is always affected by two factors. It's how well people do something in terms of skills and how happy and motivated they are while doing it. So you can find people who have great skills, but don't really enjoy doing something. And that usually goes back to their nature.
Right. Yeah. When we do things like strengths tests or some of these other personality tests, and then we give them to our manager and they're like, okay, you're a A, B, C, D, and this is what you need to do. And now I'm going to change what you do according to this test that's based on the framework that I'm in as your manager. So here's what you should be doing now. And those shoulds are what puts down our nature, I think. And I also think that the longer we're in that system and the longer we believe what we're told we are rather than what we feel we are, the further we get away from our truth. So, how do we use this type of evaluation that's so much deeper and richer? How do we use this to find our purpose, our innate purpose? Deep
That's a
question.
good question. I've just initiated a shy attempt at writing a book. So I've got a nice title so far,
Okay.
but no content. But I still call it a book.
Of
And
course.
the title is Don't Grow, Don't Learn, Don't Develop. What if we just stop growing in areas where we will never find motivation? Stop for a minute and look at when was the last time we were happy? What were we doing when we were happy? And through what I'm doing, I'm trying to push people to reflect on their purpose, on their happiness, on whether they're actually they've studied the right thing, they're doing the right thing. Of course, this is not meant to challenge people's position in life because most of us are working because we have to work
Sure.
and not positioned right now to change what we do. But it's more encouraging each one of us to really look at some areas that can be hidden where we can actually find a nice meaning of life or career. We don't have to change and grow and keep developing skills in whatever job that gives us that makes ends meet. But there are areas in each one of us. We all have one fingerprint that makes us unique, and we all have one personality, one thinking, a set of genetic traits that makes each one of us unique. What if we look at this? Everyone will be positively surprised that they have a lot of value to offer, and sometimes that value isn't recognized by the environment they're in.
This brings to mind this. I teach a class periodically in job crafting. And job crafting is basically you don't have to quit your job, but why don't you sit back for a moment and figure out what it is that you really like? You know, this test would be fabulous for the people that come to that class because it's really about what is it that inspires you to still be here today? And how can you create a job? How can you take the job that you're in and find those places, those little sparks of joy, those things that make you happy. Because once we have that, once we can be happy where we are, then it's so much easier to do everything else. But it's finding that source, that spark. And I think that it really, it's just, we don't look anymore. We stay where we are because we have to, we should, we would do something else, but no, we're not going to do that because we need to work, whatever. So I think looking a lot deeper is something that we don't do very often. And that's why we see so much attrition in the workforce now, because people aren't happy and nobody quite knows how to help them, if that makes sense.
Definitely, and there's many reasons for this. One is we build a comfort zone, and we are very uncomfortable stepping out and trying. Comfort and safety are important for human beings. We build relationships wherever we are, and change might also jeopardize these relationships. We are social beings. We defend our relationships. There's also that the tools to actually guide them to finding our purpose and our potential do not really exist. I mean, I've put this together, and this is going through a patent right now, because we used to take each part of these three different indicators and analyze it separately and assume that this is what makes a person. And that's something that I want to completely stay away from, is labeling people by something for letters or for colors or some kind of an attribute, because we're more than this. And that same information is going to be interpreted differently with the reflection of each one of us. We all have our journey in life, our own learning. And as I mentioned, it's not about really changing track. Let me ask you, Janet, do you remember when was the last time you were happy, like really, really happy? What were you
Yes.
doing?
I teach. There's nothing that makes me happier than seeing that epiphany moment when somebody gets something they learned about themselves. It's not about me, it's about them. But there's so much joy in that. So, yes.
That the thing that you do and you don't feel like it's a job or it's a chore?
Exactly.
The last time I was truly happy was 2 days ago, when I was debriefing a chief people officer at a big company in California on her report, and we had an amazing conversation. Just before that, it was my conversation with you. And if I go back in time to something that made me happy outside this context, it's the last time I landed in a new city, rented a car, tried to find my way to the hotel without using Google Maps. It's the joy of getting lost, asking people, trying to find my way. And if you look at my profile, you see all of that. You understand that this is not the weak part of, I understand now that this is not the weak part of me. The part that I tried to change to becoming more organized, a planner, someone who analyzes pros and cons. I'm never going to be that. And when I do it, I might do it well, but I feel happier getting lost. I'll tell you a funny story. I was walking in the park in Cambridge the other day, in a town near Cambridge, actually. It was the first time I go there. So I walk through the park, like I took a diagonal path in the park. And when I got to the other end of the park, I wanted to check whether I can do go around the park to where I parked my car. I can only see that same road. I had to take that same road back, but I wanted to go around the park. So I stopped to an old couple, white hair, they're holding hands, And he smiled, and I asked him, "Does that road take me back to the car park?" So as soon as the gentleman started telling me the way, he said, "You go straight." And as soon as I said, "You didn't take the first try," I started losing interest in knowing the rest of the directions. I just wanted to figure it out by myself. I felt he's ruining my experience. My experience is all about the journey, getting lost, and that's what makes me happy. But now, when these things happen, I just reflect on it and I smile, because a few years earlier, I used to think that that's something that I need to change and fix about myself. And that mind of exploration, I now know that it's part of my nature, and it's the reason that might have led me to what I do, which will potentially help millions of people. So it's a matter of acceptance, and acceptance starts with knowledge, self-knowledge, and then accepting who we are. And that trains us to start accepting other people for who they are.
Wow, that's beautiful. Because who doesn't need that? How many times have we tried to force ourselves into a box because we thought that was who we are? And then we realize, it just to speak to my own profile, it kept coming up that I was social. And it's really interesting because a lot of people think that I'm antisocial because I'm shy. And then I went back through my life experience and realized why that is. And it opens a door to how you see yourself. And it isn't necessarily something that needs to be fixed. It's something that is innate within you that needs to be embraced. And that was really revelatory to me. And your story is also revelatory. Thank you. Thank you
Well,
for
thank you
sharing
for
that.
sharing. And I can tell you something. I have this same conversation every single time I talk to someone about their profile. The part that takes most effort while I'm debriefing someone on their personality profile is getting them to understand that we see ourselves in terms of our abilities. We label ourselves as, "I am social, I am not social." That is introverted, extroverted. That is shy, confident. That is quiet or reserved or talkative. All of these are behavioral aspects. They're skills. They are what we've acquired, and they're not our nature. Our nature is, you're in that room, you are wishing you can talk to everyone there, but you haven't learned the skills to do it. You feel shy. Feeling shy is how life, what life taught you to become. But you wanting to not be shy, wanting to talk to other people, is closer to your nature. And these are two different things.
Very.
And people can only see your behavior. They can see your skills, your behavior, and they think that that's who you are. And we start treating other people as if they are that personality, that persona we see in them. And most of us will just wear it occasionally based on need basis. But behind that, there's always some nice thinking, some nice motivators, some nature that might be very different from what looks outside. Does it
Yeah.
make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's what's so valuable here is that it gives us an opportunity to look at things that we don't look at. And because the report, frankly, is huge, and that's a good thing because it gives you a lot of things to think about and it opens our eyes to the possibilities that we haven't seen before or that we've been ignoring all along. And I think that that's wonderful. And I really do think that it's something that, from a team perspective, being able to understand people better is one thing. And it can be very valuable for managers. But even more valuable for managers is for people to understand themselves. And I think that's just amazing. So thank you.
this for many years, over 17,000 assessments in total, and I've seen the power of this when you introduce it to teams. People have the aha moments, just like the aha moments you had when you were reading your own profile, but then you have these different aha moments on why they are in conflict with someone. Why does someone irritate them so much in a team? Why is it that they're not able to work well with a boss? A lot is explained through this, and I tried my best to put this in the least threatening language possible, given that I understand the challenge that we, anyone reading any personality profile, the first thing they do is they say, "Oh, I'm not good at this. I have a low score at this." And I understand that I have to deal with this habit we all have of thinking we're not good enough. This is our instinctive reaction to seeing a personality score. Some had actually high genetic predispositions all the way through their 54 personality predispositions. One low, and we spent half an hour talking about that one low
Negativity
predisposition.
bias reigns.
Yeah, exactly. We just train that way. We just train to think that we're not good enough, and we're going to be reprimanded, or we're going to be told off for the wrong that we've done, and not praised for the good that we've done. So that's exactly what I'm pushing people to do, is let's stop growing, let's stop developing and learning. If all of that is outside anything that makes us enjoy what we're doing, just figure out who you are and just let it be. It will flow naturally. You will grow naturally. It's the difference between two children learning the piano. One has the talent, the other one is learning only because their mom is asking them to practice. Same tutor coming every week, same amount of practice hours. But you can already see the different level of happiness and motivation while they're practicing.
Wow. And Antoine, I so appreciate you and going through this process and what I've learned from it. And I would love to share with people how to find you and how to take this assessment. And really, people, take the assessment because it's very amazing. And I don't say that very often about assessments, but thank you.
I am the founder of Meet Yourself. Meet Yourself is based in the US. You can reach me on my LinkedIn, Antoine Eid, or my email, antoine@meetyourself.me. I'm available to guide anyone to the process of how to take the assessment. It's really life-changing
Yes.
thing. And what you've seen is just the beginning of a long analysis. It's going to get deeper and deeper. Go to meetyourself.me, go to my LinkedIn. I post a few times a week some interesting stuff about this topic. Yeah.
I will absolutely put contact info in the blog post and on the podcast. And if you guys want to talk about my assessment, I am happy to share some of it with you because I loved it and it's made me think, and that's what I like to do. It's even in my assessment. So thank you. Thank you so much for being here.
Like a big smile on my face.
Thanks for tuning in for another episode of Mindful Social. It's been so great to see the subscriptions growing, and the feedback has really helped me make the show even better. So if you know somebody who needs to be on the show, email me at janet@janetfouts.com, and please send me feedback there too, or post a review on the podcast platform you're listening on. Oh, and do me a favor, share this show on social media or with a friend. Thank you.